Hello and welcome to GoGo Training Radio, found exclusively on gogotraining.com. My name is James Lee of OnSite, and in this show we're going to discuss Linux inter-process communication. I've been in the industry for over 25 years. I've worked with open source technologies such as Linux and Python and Perl and others, and have delivered training classes for companies around the world. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo training profile. If you have any questions you'd like to ask me, please use the question comment box below. All right, let's get started. We're going to talk about IPC, inter-process communication. Now let's back up a second and recall that Linux is a multi-process, multi-user operating system. That means more than one user can log in, and each user can do more than one thing. And everything that happens on the machine is its own unique process. And the process, it's important that each process be clearly delineated from other processes. So every process has its own memory and the use of other resources. But there are often cases where we want different processes to communicate with one another. Hence the concept of inter-process communication. And Linux, including Red Hat Enterprise Linux, but all Linux distributions offer several different mechanisms to work with inter-process communication. The first method is simply a file. That's easy. So one process can write information to a file on the disk, and the other process can read from the file. And that's a very simple and easy thing to do. Another method is what's called a signal. So in Linux, one process can send a signal to another process. And there are certain signals that are probably pretty common, like a control C. Most of us in Linux have done a control C. That's what's known as a sigint. And signals can be, other types of signals can be sent as well. If you're interested in knowing what all the signals are, type man /7/signal at the shell and you'll see a whole list of them. Anyway, your process can be programmed or configured to do what's called trap the signal. So if we send a specific signal to a process, the process can trap it and then take behavior specific to that application. For instance, if we send a SIG user one signal from one process to another, the receiving process can say, oh, I've received a SIG user one signal, I'm going to go do XYZ. And that way, our processes communicate with one another with these signals. It's like, yelling from one window to the next to go do something, and then that receiver would go take action based on what signal it received. Another inter-process communication method is what's known as a socket. Now, everyone's used sockets, even if you don't even know it, you've been using it. A socket is basically connecting or binding a port and an IP address, and then connecting to that combination, that socket. And what happens is on the machine where the socket is the IP address, runs a program called a server, and it monitors that port, that socket. And then the client can connect to the socket, and then communication can take place. So communication can be from the client to the server, or back from the server to the client, or both. And that way, these two processes can communicate. Now, the processes, in this case, which is nice, can run on the same machine or on different machines. So that's a real advantage of sockets, is that the processes can be on separate machines. The next IPC mechanism is what's called a message queue. A message queue is a very elaborate... Well, let's back up and talk about a pipe. A pipe is a very simple first-in, first-out type of connector from one process to another. So each process can connect to the pipe, open the pipe, and send data. One process can send data into the pipe, and another can read data from the pipe. And the nice thing is that a process can send data into the pipe, and it will sit there until the other process consumes it. So it's information that doesn't have to be consumed immediately. There's really two types of pipes like this. There's what's known as a pipe, and then there's a named pipe. Now, a much more elaborate pipe-like thing is called a message queue. And the big difference between a message queue and a normal pipe is that in a message queue, you can have several different types of messages. And the type of message is stored as part of the message in the queue. So I can have one process sending different types of messages into the queue, and then another process will consume them. The other process can then consume the next message, like whichever one's just sitting there ready to be processed, or it can consume the next message of a particular type. So it's kind of an elaborate first-in, first-out type of queue, where the receiver can select the type of message it receives or just whatever the next message happens to be. Another very nice inter-process communication. Oh, by the way, the message queue and the pipes, the processes have to be on the same machine. Another inter-process communication technique where the processes have to be on the same machine is what's known as a semaphore. And a semaphore is, the name semaphore comes from the concept of use of flags way back in the day on ships. You know, when ships are kind of sitting in the ocean not far from each other, a person would get on deck with a bunch of flags, a couple flags, and then send a message using the flags in different combinations. And that's where the term semaphore comes from. And it's basically a message that a process would send to another process. And typically, you can have two types of semaphores, what are known as binary semaphores. A binary semaphore takes on one of two values, and that's it. Or you can have just a regular semaphore that can take on multiple values. So one process can use the semaphore, set a value, and the second process can read that value and take an action based on it. The most common use of binary semaphores is to coordinate the use of a resource. So for instance, let's say the two processes read from the same file. What we can do is we can have one process set the semaphore to say, hey, I am using this file. Don't touch it until I'm done. Then the process can either read from or write to the file. And then when the process is done with the file, it can set the semaphore, and the other process will read the semaphore and say, oh, it's my turn now, and go off and process the resource. In other words, take its turn. So semaphores are very common when sharing resources of different types. And common resources being shared are files, sockets, and other things, even pipes. And the last IPC method we'll talk about is shared memory. Now, processes, by their nature, have their own memory segments. However, shared memory segments can be created, and these shared segments can be used by more than one process. So, for instance, one process can connect to a shared memory section, write data into the process, into the memory, and then another process can read the data out of the shared memory segment. Thereby, information is shared between one process to another. And so the shared memory segment is a very common way of passing data back and forth. And since you don't want to have two processes writing into the shared memory at the same time, we can combine two IPC methods, semaphores and shared memory, and that way we can coordinate who gets to use the shared memory at what time. So there are a few IPC methods. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question comment box. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Training Radio Archive for my name, James Lee. If there's a show you'd like me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune into the GoGo Training Radio, found exclusively on GoGoTraining.com.